Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Graham, the United Nations top human rights official has condemned Israel's military actions in the Gaza Strip, saying that war crimes may have been committed. Navi Pillay told an emergency debate at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva that Israel's military offensive had not done enough to protect civilians. She also condemned Hamas for indiscriminate attacks on Israel. There's been fierce fighting today in parts of Gaza. Thousands were said to be trapped in the village of Khuzar. Let's discuss Israel's actions now in more detail. I'm joined from England by Avi Shalaim, Emeritus Professor of International Relations at Oxford University and the author of Israel and Palestine, Reappraisals, Revisions and Refutations. And from Jerusalem, we're joined by Paul Hirshhorn, spokesman for the Israeli Foreign Ministry. You're both very welcome indeed to Drive Time. Professor Shalaim, first of all, do you agree with the UN top human rights official that there may be war crimes being committed in Gaza?
I do agree with her entirely, and I think that she was very careful in what she said, very measured and very balanced, because she also condemned the rocket attacks on Israeli civilians by Hamas as a war crime before moving on to Israel's performance during this offensive. So, killing civilians is wrong, period. It's wrong whether it's committed by an organization like Hamas or whether it is committed by the state of Israel. And I agree with her criticisms of the Israeli offensive, because it involved a clear break of the laws of war, and it amounted to indiscriminate bombardment of Palestinian civilians in Gaza with terrible consequences. And she is surely right when she says that the Israeli army has not taken enough precaution to protect the lives of civilians.
Paul Hirshhorn, is it difficult to argue with that and with the UN top human rights official when she says that Israel hasn't done enough to protect civilians? When you look at the casualty figures, nearly 700 dead at this point, we're told. The vast majority of them are civilians.
Hi, thank you for having me again. No, not at all difficult. I listened to the former speaker, and you know, the only thing I can say is that saying it is so doesn't make it so. Of course, one has to present evidence first, which the previous speaker didn't, and Navi Pillay hasn't. What I can say about the United Nations Human Rights Council is that they stand on the verge of embarrassing themselves even more so now than they did last time, when the person who headed up their commission of inquiry eventually had to apologize and rescind and say that he was mistaken and everything was wrong. The Israeli military has taken unprecedented steps. And we will see in hindsight that we have set a new standard in a very difficult circumstances. It's the people of Gaza are having a very difficult time now, and a lot of them are being killed.
What new standard?
The new standard is the steps that are taken to try and minimize and avoid civilian casualties in the face of a non-state actor which has emerged from under the ground to be a monster with a killer strategy, which is on a daily, on an hourly, on a minutely basis committing war crimes.
So with 600, is at least 600 civilian deaths, is that an acceptable level?
No, we have to check those numbers. Of those 650, at least 250 are terrorists. And of the other 350, yes, there are a few hundred civilians and there are a few hundred who are not yet confirmed. We know how it works. It works this way every time. It starts off with 100% civilians. Then after a while, we start admitting that, not you, sorry, the people involved start admitting that there are a couple of militants who've been killed. Roughly around where we are today, the numbers are 30% of the people were terrorists. The point when the fighting stops, everybody acknowledges it was more like 60 60% civilian, 40% militants. And then 6 months after the publication of the Commission of Inquiry, it's down to about 40, 50%. Again, you will find with the real tragedy, honestly, a real tragedy of civilians being killed, and the responsibility for that lies directly at the doorstep of a terror organization, which is deliberately, one gets the feeling, encouraging the death of their own people just in order to be able to launch a public relations war against Israel.
Okay,
the Israeli military...
Let me bring in Professor Shalem at this point. Professor Shalem, Israel say they have set a new standard in taking steps to minimize the number of civilian casualties. And again, the blame is being put at Hamas's door for using civilians, using women and children as human shields.
The Israeli ambassador to the United States said that Israel deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for its efforts to protect civilians. Well, let him nominate Israel, the Israeli army, for a Nobel Peace Prize. They would laugh in his face, and I laugh in his face, because the reality is very, very different. And Israel, the underlying cause for the violence, for this mini-war and the three previous Israeli major offensive in Gaza, the underlying reason for all the violence is the Israeli occupation. That is the root of all evil. And in 2005, Israel disengaged unilaterally from the Gaza Strip. But in 2007, it imposed a blockade of the Gaza Strip, a blockade is a form of collective punishment which is illegal. It's prescribed by international law. So the underlying reason for the last round of violence is the Israeli blockade of Gaza.
Paul Hirshhorn, that is a point Palestinians make time after time after time. End the blockade, end the occupation, and we can start again.
Well, two things. First of all, with due respect to the professor, I don't want to say he's lying, so I'll just have to assume he doesn't know what he's talking about. Israel withdrew, as he correctly points out. Israel redeployed out of the Gaza Strip 9 years ago. I don't know, in the hope that perhaps they would build Dubai on the Mediterranean coast, and instead we got rockets, hatred, and a killer strategy, which we have been forced to take defensive action about against. But let's talk for a second about this boycott that the professor glibly talks about. There is a naval blockade, that I agree. A naval blockade which was ruled by the United Nations to be legal, to be legitimate, to be legally and legitimately implemented the way that Israel is implementing it. Then we look at the land borders. First of all, Israel, with all due respect to my inflated ego, Israel doesn't have the ability to put a blockade on Gaza because Gaza shares a border with a second country, with Egypt, across which border they are free to transfer whatever they want. It has nothing to do with me, and whether I like it or not, I have no ability to impact that. And the land border that Gaza shares with Israel, until the breakout of hostilities the last 2 weeks, I admit the last 2 weeks has been a little bit different, but until the last 2 weeks, there were zero limitations on export, very few limitations on input, on imports, and we've seen that we were probably too liberal with the restrictions on imports because they took all the cement and all the building material and they poured it underground, 4 or 5 meters underground, hundreds of tunnels, including tens that traverse the international frontier with oxygen supply and electricity, some of which you can drive vehicles through, with a desire, tens of millions of dollars. A lot of it, by the way, came foreign aid from Europe, although it wasn't intended for those purposes, to be fair. And they took that cement and they poured it into developing a killer strategy. There's combat going on right now as we speak beneath the ground. We are going to have to address terrible school of thought, perhaps the darkest political school of thought in modern history, and get it out of the way in order to allow ourselves and the Palestinians to resolve our differences. The primary obstacle to peace and hopefully partnership is Hamas. That's the obstacle. Let's be clear, the Palestinian people are not our enemy. We do everything we possibly can to avoid civilian casualties.
Okay, Professor Shalaim, what do you say to all of that?
I say to that the main obstacle to peace between Israel and the Palestinians is not Hamas, but Israel. And without going too much back into history, let's look at the recent period when Hamas has been moving further and further towards moderation and towards peaceful coexistence with Israel. After the collapse of Secretary of State Kerry's attempt to broker peace between the two sides, Hamas and Fatah reached a reconciliation agreement. This was in April. In May, a new Palestinian unity government was created, and it's extremely moderate, both in its composition and its policies. It consists of Fatah officials, of experts, of technocrats, and it doesn't contain a single Hamas-affiliated member. That's the composition. And then there is the policy. The three main Western demands on the Palestinians for receiving foreign aid are, one, to recognize Israel, two, to honor all previous PLO agreements with Israel, and three, to renounce violence. And this government, this national unity government, has met all of these demands, and yet Israel refuses to talk and to negotiate with this government on this basis.
We must leave it there. Thank you both very much indeed for joining us. Emeritus Professor of International Relations at Oxford University, Avi Shalaim, and Paul Hirshhorn, spokesman for the Israeli Foreign Ministry, joining us live this evening from Jerusalem.